be worshipped. I want to be loved.
I've told you a million times not to talk to me when I'm doing my lashes.
Oh, it's you. I didn't know you with all your clothes on.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view.
What am I going to tell you? You look like a woman.
Well, girls, looks like it's back to the perfume counter for me. And by the way, there's a name for you ladies, but it isn't used in high society, outside of a kennel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week of the Goldwyn Girls podcast with Amelia, that's me, and Meredith as your hosts. And this is going to be a little bit more of a chill podcast this week, because we've done some, the past two that we've done are on, you know, specific films, but this one's more just going to be us kind of talking about paratext, so things like fan fiction or some just like literature that's kind of related to classic Hollywood stars or like classic Hollywood films. And I think it's going to be a lot more fun and chill. So get your blunt, get your White Claw, get your bottle of whiskey, whatever you prefer, and come listen to us read some fan fiction or talk about fan fiction.
I'm so excited for this, Amelia. This is what I live for.
Yeah, this is like, we, you know, we were going to try to do this last week, but we decided, you know, we actually talked about, we like got off the rails where we were like, not last week, but I guess the week that we did the Goodbye Girl, because we got off, I started reading fan fiction. Like, this is not what this podcast is about. But we were just going to kind of have a little bit less of an outline for this podcast. But I did want to talk about kind of like early fan fiction first, and then we were kind of going to just go off the rails and talk about other some interesting fan fiction that we found that's classic Hollywood related. A really funny Tumblr called Old Hollywood Facts That Are Not True Hollywood Facts, but like are written very well to the point where you think they're real facts. And we're going to talk about Jeanette McDonald and Nelson Eddy, and we also found some Judy Garland and Gene Kelly fan fiction. Which, like, Meredith, if I'm not mistaken, isn't, like, most of that fan fiction from, like, The Pirate? It really seems like that's, like, the movie.
Yeah, I think a lot of it may be. I don't want to say that 100%, but I will say that I remember, like, when I was more active on Tumblr years ago, I'm pretty sure that The Pirate is, like, the most talked about in the shipping of Judy and Gene, because there are some great scenes where you can definitely tell they have amazing chemistry. So I'm going to say that's, it's very, I think that's probably a right assumption.
I feel like it's funny because I watched The Pirate based on kind of like their chemistry or just seeing like gifs on Tumblr and stuff. And I watched it. I was like, this movie sucks.
I didn't like it either. I mean, like I think that's the musical number, like that's the best, where people gif the part when he comes up and he like traces her, like he sort of like traces her figure. And I think, do they kiss in that part? I think they do. Yeah. And it's really good. Like, I gotta say, like, okay, I'm like, okay, I understand your basis for this argument. But yeah, no, I don't think that was, it wasn't very good either. I'm like, eh. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Joseph Breen was going to fight whoever made those decisions on The Pirate, because like they were like, those scenes were like sexy, which like makes sense as to why like people would be writing fan fiction about them. I mean, also, you know, Jeanette McDonald's and Eddie, which we'll talk, I'll rant about later. There's some scenes, especially in their film Sweethearts from 1934. I think that's the year it came out. There's like scenes where you can just tell that they were totally smashing on the
yes
on the out, like behind the scenes. I'm gonna try to censor myself, but it's gonna be really hard because we're talking about fan fiction. But I guess if you don't like bad words, don't listen to the podcast. I will try to use Bing Bong as much as I can, but sometimes you can only say Bing Bong and Boink, you know, a certain number of times before it gets tiring and it loses its comedic value. But I'm gonna go ahead and start and talk about, just like briefly talk about Tijuana Bibles. I think we were going to read one originally, but you know, they're only like, they're very explicit because they're literally pornographic comic books. So Tijuana Bibles were popular from the 20s to the early 60s, and they were, like I said, pornographic comic books. It looks like a lot of them, from like what we saw, was that they were like 8 panels, and they were kind of like the size of like a leather wallet, and that some of, like, they only had like 8 pages, or like, you know, it was like very short, easy to conceal, which I think was the point. They reached popularity during the Great Depression. And, you know, some of this isn't classic Hollywood related, because a lot of them are supposed to be parodying like newspaper comic strips, like Popeye or Dick Tracy or like Blondie. But actually, we found a lot that were like classic Hollywood related. And it's just funny because some of them also really do like take into account like the context in which they were written from, and actually have related incidents, and like they're meta. Is a way to basically summarize what I was trying to say. Because, like, there's a Robert Mitchum one we read. Like,
oh, that was my podcast, favorite.
But it was, like, the best one. Because in the end of the Bible, he gets sent to prison for smoking cigarette butts. Or what are they called? Goof butts.
Yeah. Which goof I butts. Love how they were completely roasting him, because that happened in real life, too.
I know. So they were like meta. Like, was there was one where, wasn't it Tyrone Power and, no, who was it? No, it was Robert Taylor and Barbara Stanwyck, right?
Yeah. The one you... Oh, that was weird. Yeah.
Isn't it that he was like gay in the, is that like alluded to?
Yeah, because it's, and I don't know if this is true or not, so I'll kind of just put it as a neutral thing, but it's at least rumored that both of them were gay. So, you know, a lot of people said they were like, it was a lavender marriage, but I don't know, like, I don't know if for a fact, you know, if that's true or not, but I think that's what they were definitely alluding to that. What about, there's a weird Cagney one that kind of disturbed me. Did you see that one?
Wasn't that the James Cagney? Wasn't that, I sent you that, right? It's the James Cagney, Dick Powell, and Pat O'Brien one.
Yes, that was
Warner Brothers gangbang.
I can't.
I thought it was really clever, because it's, you know, honestly, like, I, you know, watching, like, if I were to watch the Gold Diggers, you could really argue, like, if you were to watch those films, you could argue that Dick Powell was, like, could be a coded gay character. Or, like, his characters were, you know, coded as gay. So I think it's interesting that they referenced that in the Tijuana Bible. But it's, like, it's like, we talked about this, it's, like, almost, you know, and it says even, you know, we found some, too. It's, like, they also, because obviously the people who probably wrote these were white. There's a lot of ethnic stereotypes in some of these. And so it's interesting, there's internalized homophobia in the Tijuana Bibles that contain gay relationships. It's just so odd to me.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the weird, let me bring up the Esther Williams one. That was, oh my goodness. I think you had me read that one out to you. I tried to do a dramatic reading and I was like, yeah. Oh, it was so awkward to read that out, but it was so funny. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's,
someone needs to write something about Tijuana Bibles and how they portray like race, class, and gender issues in like in the time in which they were written, because it's so true that, like, in the Esther Williams one, there's race, there's class, and there's gender issues presented in it. And in the James Cagney and Dick Powell and Pratt O'Brien one, there's gender issues, gender and sexuality issues in it. So honestly, you know, if I was still in college, I would write about that, but my professor would probably be like, don't. Please don't.
Yeah, this was like Tumblr content before Tumblr. And I said this to you when we were looking over them, but sometimes I have to remind myself, it's, you know, like, people, we've all been the same for however many years. And, you know, it's like, it's weird. I have those moments where I'm like, oh, people wrote fan fiction back then. And then I have to, like, yeah, I have to remind myself, I'm like, why is this surprising? I don't know. Like, I get these, like, naive blind spots where I, for some reason, you know, I think it was so different. And then here they are shipping random people just like everybody does today with movies and shows. And I really appreciate that, you know? It's like memeing and things like that, too. You know, people did that. And really, I love it so much.
I mean, I think it's just hard to picture because, like, you know, we weren't, like, there. And I guess we kind of think of people back then as not very sexual sometimes. And I think that's, like, obviously because of the Hays Code and everything, like, that's kind of just further reinforced because there isn't, like, a lot of sexual stuff in classic Hollywood films. So I think that we would think that, like, okay, that was, you know, the reason they were making films that were less sexual is because that was reflective of how people were back then. But it was just because they were enforcing what they thought people should be like instead of, like, mirroring what society was actually like, if that makes sense.
Exactly, yeah. And don't get me wrong, I love the films of the Code era. I feel like it's kind of like jokes on them, though, because now, you know, some of us are having fun going back to the pre-Code era and showing people who don't watch a ton of old movies the pre-Code era. And I think it's so fun to do that because you're like, hey, so you know how most of classic film was innocent, but let me allow you to take a look at an earlier time. And, you know, I don't know, it's almost like sort of little shock value. It's not that shocking anymore for anybody to see it. But, you know, I think it's fun. Like, I try to show people things like Gold Diggers of 1933 and stuff like that. And I get a kick out of seeing people have that veil, like, drawn back where they're like, okay, I get it. This is great. It's not just stuffy and all of that. So this, I like how this is just sort of a nice, like, a supplement or whatever, that you know, people can also look at and say, oh, okay, so they were just like us back then. It's great.
Yeah, I, you know, and I've, God, it's like I used to do this a lot more, but there's a Tumblr that scans, like, a bunch of old, or at least I don't know if they're personally scanning them or if they're just kind of pulling them from archive.org, but they pull out all the fan magazines. You can read, like, fan mail and stuff. And, like, people were, like, always, you know, people were just like us. Like, I remember reading one where a girl was talking about Jim, like, James Stewart. And she was like, he would be, like, the perfect boyfriend. He would take me to, like, the amusement park. And if I got too scared on the roller coaster, he would hold me.
Oh, like,
so cute.
I think I know the blog you're talking about. I love that one. The thing that gets me with the old Hollywood fan magazines is the fans who would write in and make, like, snarky and, like, petty, they would, like, write petty things about how somebody, like, talked during a movie or how, like, this actor is, like, nobody anymore. And I don't, like, that it was so, you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen the really sassy ones? I'll just try to find one of those and read it someday because there's some really funny ones.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like, I'm so glad those, like, exist as, like, a way to see how people, like, consumed movies or television or, like, what they thought outside of, like, what the director or, like, just things that, like, maybe back then they, you know, the industry didn't really see, like, as something important, like, what people are, how people actually, like, take the text and what they do with it after the movie's over. But I was looking at some of the Tijuana Bibles from that website we were looking at, which I'll post on the social media page or social media pages. I was like trying to find one I could read, but they're just so like, this is like all, like, this is not safe for work category. Like, none of them start off with like, I mean, the Robert Mitchum one kind of starts off kind of not as raunchy. But, like, literally all of these start off so raunchy.
And they're very, it's very visual, too.
Yeah, they're very visual. Which, you know, it's porn, so it makes sense. But the ones that disturb me the most are the, which technically aren't old Hollywood actors. But the Donald Duck and the Mickey Mouse one pretty much, like, scarred me forever, I think.
Same. Yep.
Walt Disney would not be pleased.
No. What if he secretly was the one who did it, though? Like, what if he was, like, the one and he was, like, pushing his fanfic and anonymously?
That is amazing. So a person named Quinn scanned a dozen of some of these Tijuana Bibles. So I will link them on the page and you can read them for yourself. It looks like a lot of the ones he did upload are more of the newspaper comic ones as opposed to like Hollywood stars. But there's some available on eBay if you'd like to buy any. I was going to buy some of the ones on eBay, the classic Hollywood ones.
They're interesting relics. Just like, I mean, it's a novelty piece now, definitely.
They're only some of them are only $9.95. Okay. So I want to bring up the old Hollywood Facts Tumblr that we found, which is hilarious.
Oh, we were crying over it. Like, we've shared stuff back and forth over the years from that. Like, it's classic. It never gets old.
And I found some Judy Garland and Ann Miller ones just for Meredith.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
So this is a Tumblr. We don't know who runs it. Maybe we'll find out at some point. But it's just like old Hollywood facts, but they're not true. But they're written so well that you think they're true. And there's a picture of Robert Osborne, rest in peace. And it's like a photo bucket photo because it has like the photo bucket logo still on it. Like they didn't even take it off and it just says all of this is true. it's just like I just noticed the photo bucket
part. It makes it so much better, honestly. It's legit.
Okay, so here's some I found. Okay, are you ready, Meredith?
I'm so ready.
Okay, I like how they all say fact before it. Okay. Fact, not wanting to be outdone by a stare during the Couple of Swells number, Judy Garland drove around Culver City and beat up some hobos, giving them a coin for their trouble before she sped off with their clothes.
Leave it to Judy, though. At least she would give them a coin for their trouble. So, you know.
This one says, fact, to achieve the two-toned coloring of Ann Miller's hair in Easter Parade, the hair department dyed roadkill to use as a hair piece after it was beat repeatedly to give her a more voluptuous, natural look. I love that. The roadkill part. Like, how did you come up with this stuff? Another one says, Ann Miller is known as the mother of pantyhose. She came up with the idea of giving them away so they wouldn't fall when she danced. However, she revealed later in her life she needed a shield to keep L.B. Mayer from gaining access to her underwear.
No.
Oh, this is a good one. This one has a lot of hits. It says, Judy Garland used the blood of her defeated rival, Deanna Durbin, to tint her cheeks and color her lips. There's a lot of, like, Judy Garland ones.
Yes, exactly. There's a...
Although I really liked the Mickey Rooney one, which I have to read out loud again because it's so
yes.
Funny. Fact, during the filming of Babes in Arms, Busby Berkeley was routinely filleted by Mickey Rooney between takes, which unleashed an animalistic homosexual appetite on the part of Rooney. This accounts for Rooney's distinct baboon face and mannerisms, which earned him an Academy Award nomination. It's just like, here's the one you talked about earlier. Michael Jackson taught Elizabeth Taylor how to moonwalk, and in return, she gave him a diamond-studded glove with genuine diamonds. It said when Marlon Brando found out he was furious, and his rage proceeded to consume fried chicken at a dangerous pace, unaware that the chicken came in a bucket. When asked by his assistant what happened to the bucket, he replied that he thought it was edible. Upon discovering that Marlon was hurt, Michael offered to teach him the dance.
Oh my God. I've got one for you. Can I tell you one?
Yeah.
Okay. Got a couple here. Fact. Peter Lawford was a Time Lord and traveled into the future, landing on Bea Arthur, and then stole her fur coat, which he then wore in Easter Parade.
Oh my God.
Fact, in the late 40s, there was a shortage of blush in the makeup department at MGM due to Ann Miller's addiction to it. Leave Ann Miller alone.
Oh my God. Best part is that there's people ask this Tumblr these are true. Like, people have submitted, like, questions like, are these real?
I love that, too. And I love that they hold that this is, you know, true Hollywood facts. And it's the best is that they're saying it like it's serious. Okay, here's one for you. Fact. L.B. Mayer kept a copy of the voodoo footage from the pirate. I don't know if you've heard that reference. I forgot that there was like a, wasn't that like some kind of like really sultry musical number between Judy Garland and Gene Kelly in The Pirate? I believe that's what that is.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like too risque for the code.
Oh my gosh. So apparently, well, quote unquote, apparently, L.B. Mayer kept a copy of the voodoo footage from The Pirate. Every day after everyone left the studio, he would watch it in his office. When he was fired from MGM, he locked the footage in a box and put in his will that the box was to be buried with him, so no one else could enjoy the sexiness of Judy and Gene in the voodoo number.
So I have another one.
Okay.
Fact. After an argument with Clark Gable, Carol Lombard would steal his dentures and have Joan Crawford hold them in her vagina for a few hours. Thus being the cause of his haliotosis. We're gonna read. There's another one. There's a Peter Lawford and Mickey Rooney one. Oh wait, is this Frank? No, it's Frank Sinatra and Mickey Rooney. It says after the lawsuit filed by Mickey Rooney against Frank Sinatra was settled out of court, Sinatra was forced by MGM minders to walk slower with less hip movement. It was said that after turning a corner too fast while walking, Sinatra's penis slammed into Rooney's face, knocking him into the front of a moving golf cart. Not only causing major bruising to his face, but also causing him to twist his ankle and bruise his wrist. Rooney tried to sue for physical as well as psychological damage. Oh my god, what the... I just, like, I'm speechless, I think. Some of these are, like, so wild that I don't even know what to say. But they're so well written that I really think that, like, it, you know, if you just... They do look like they're facts. Here is a Judy Garland and Gene Kelly one. Fact. Judy Garland and Gene Kelly always claimed to be just good friends. There are reports from others that it was more than that. One person claimed to have overheard a conversation between the two during filming of The Pirate. What started out as an argument turned into something much worse, turned into something much more adulterous. Do you routinely French kiss your friends while caressing their breasts? While Vincent Minnelli films the whole thing, inquiring minds want to know, Judy was quoted as saying. What you didn't know was that Vincent was fully aware of his wife's relationship with Mr. Kelly and even approved, seeing how he could never fully satisfy his nymphomaniac wife. I really love that in all of these that Vincent Minnelli is just okay with everything.
Right? He's just hanging out. He's just taking it easy, living life. Oh my gosh. Oh, here's one for you. Okay. Uh-huh. Fact, Vivien Leigh's skirt didn't swish properly when she walked. And I guess it's probably in Gone with the Wind. So to get the full dramatic effect, the directors hired Mickey Rooney. I'll start over. Okay, so...
Take two.
Okay, in fact, Vivien Leigh's skirts didn't swish properly when she walked, so to get the full dramatic effect, the directors hired Mickey Rooney to hide under Vivian's skirts to sway them to the desired effect.
Just like, so there's, okay, I have two more and then we'll move on.
Okay.
But like, we could go on and on. Fact, and then it says, question, how did Joan Crawford cure yeast infections? Answer, Clark Gable's tongue.
Oh, no.
And then it says that that's a quote from her biography, Possessed, the story of Joan Crawford. Okay, the delivery on this one, the next one, is so good because they're so serious when they answer people's questions.
Mm-hmm.
This is an ask, or this is like a question from someone on their blog. It says, your facts are very informative. Do you know if there was anything going on between Marilyn Monroe and Jane Russell during the filming of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes? And then they answered saying, they actually scissored a few times. Thank you. Much love.
The thank you, much love just sends me.
Someone sent them an ask saying, you are one fucked up person. And then they said, no, we're not a fucked up person. We're fucked up people. Welcome to the floor. Jesus Christ. They even have ones quoted, like, that are quoted from, like, Leonard Maltin. Like, Leonard Maltin had actually said some of these things.
I'm crying.
Okay, here, one more. I swear to God, and then I'll stop. This one says, fact, Greta Garbo was not Swedish at all. In fact, she was a very skinny drag queen pulled from a New York burlesque. This was confirmed by Robert Taylor when Garbo's penis unexpectedly became erect during a love scene in Camille. But this did not deter him from sleeping with Garbo outside of the studio. And then it says that Leonard Maltin said that. Quote from Leonard Maltin. Oh my god.
My stomach hurts.
I'm like wiping tears away.
Oh man. Oh, that was. You know, like, honestly, just if you ever have any free time and you want to read more of these, go to oldhollywoodfacts.tumblr.com. It's there for you anytime.
Okay, one more. I swear, I will stop.
Oh, go for it. You know I like this.
And it's better because someone reblogged the post, the fact, and they, like, got pissed. Okay. Fact, on Judy Garland's deathbed, she leaned into her son, Joey Luft, and whispered, baby, you must carry on my legacy. Become a bigger drag queen than Joan Crawford could have ever dreamed to be. You must avenge me. He was never seen from again. Liza Minnelli would begin to rise to fame 3 years later. And then, so it's quoted as, like, it was from the book Me and My Shadows, which I guess is probably a biography, but someone retweeted it reblogged it, and someone said, so wrong, but so hilarious. I hope you know this fact isn't true, right? And then it says, if I found out the Tumblr this came from is a parody page after posting this, I'm going to feel dumb. And then I think they reblogged it.
Oh my god.
Wow, you need to get off your high horse and do some real research. Judy and Liza would be fucking disgusted with your attitude towards them. How dare you question anything from this blog? We're funded by Leonard Maltin.
Honestly, it's all you need right there. Oh my gosh. I was going to say, I actually read Me and My Shadows. Lorna Luft wrote it. And they also made, I was talking to somebody actually not that long ago about the, they also made a, they made like a, is it a mini series? I don't know. They made a biopic based on the book as well. And I've seen that. But yeah, I was like, all of a sudden I was like, I'll have to go back because, you know, probably missed that fact in there. But, you know, I wouldn't doubt it.
Moving on, because Meredith and I could probably do this for hours, which is, like, really actually what we do when we're not recording. Mm-hmm. We're honestly just sending that stuff back and forth. But, like, I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, Meredith, because, like, it's kind of confusing, but there's a Jeanette McDonald and Nelson Eddy blog called MacEddy.com. And it's written, I'm assuming it's run only by Sharon Rich, but, Or it's, you know, it's said that it's like the Mac Eddy Club, so it could also be anyone in the club, but I'm assuming Sharon Rich, who's the author of the Sweethearts book, which is about Jeanette MacDonald and Nelson Eddy's relationship. So I guess this has been, you know, these people are dedicated. Like, once you, like, once someone finds someone to research about and, like, can stick to it, this is, like, an example of that, because she has been publishing stuff, like she's been publishing a Mac and Eddy magazine since 1977, and each magazine is 64 pages.
Dang.
And I guess it's still going, I'm not really sure, but they're like 25, I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them are like $10 to $25 each. And then she has the book. And then she wrote, apparently she wrote a bunch of books about them and just, Nelson, or like them as individuals, or also, you know, the Sweethearts book. But she also does events, and because it says event tickets, of course there's no events right now, but it's like bonkers. And they also have some blog posts that are really interesting. And there's one that's like five steps to bliss. And it's basically like, supposedly Nelson Eddy and Jeanette MacDonald's, like, it's like the five steps to like a rendezvous. And he does like illustrations, and they're written on like a dinner like menu at maybe like a restaurant they were at. So, okay. Step one, it's like a tiny martini glass. Step two is like, this is like terrible sketches. He's a bad artist.
That's so sad.
I think it's supposed to apparently be a girl drinking a martini. This one cracks me up. It says step three, flower opens.
I'm a 12-year-old right now.
It's literally like a picture of a flower. Sorry. Okay. Do you want to hear what the fourth one is?
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
It just says girl opens. I literally can't tell what the sketch is. It looks like I don't even know what the sketch is. It just like looks like a mouth almost. Like it's like something open up, and then there's something else like in front of it. Like it's going in it. It says, no, we don't know what the thing is below the girl. It has a particularly suggestive shape. We're not going there. Reading the captions under these pictures. And then, oh, there's a fifth one, which is set five. Heavenly bliss. And it kind of looks like two people. These are terrible. And it has, there's like a JM written initial on the picture.
Oh. We know who that is.
Who is that? Who that?
Who's that?
So he drew this on a menu.
That's like very poetic.
Jeez, someone commented on it on the post.
Oh no.
Someone said, I wonder why he circled step three and five. Must have been mighty important in his presentation. These people are too much. I didn't find the letter, but I guess that's like another fun thing I found.
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
This is fan fiction.
No, that pretty much is. Thank you for your service on that.
And I just wanted to say also that I really want to buy Meredith has the Sweethearts book.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to buy the Sweethearts book because it's like the letters that Nelson Eddy wrote to Jeanette MacDonald or about her or to her, however, they're so romantic, and I know that they're in that book, and I'm just like, oh, it kills me. But I don't want to support Sharon Rich because she's a Scientologist, and she even has, you know, I told Meredith this, but she is a Scientologist, and there's a video of her on YouTube. It's from like 3 years ago. And it's about her nephew, who was in Leah Remini's show, Scientology in the Aftermath. And he was sent, basically, to summarize it, he was sent to a ranch when he was 8 years old. And they say, like, either it was prison or a ranch. And I'm like, he's eight. And the whole video is his family members, including Sharon Rich, who is his aunt, basically talking about how he's a terrible person. And it's posted on Scientology's other account that's from another company or whatever that they have called Freedom Media and Ethics, and says, get the truth about Nathan Rich. So anyway, I don't feel comfortable supporting anybody who is a scientist. So, you know, I respect her love of Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald, but I also, like, will never ever pay for anything that she's written. And I will probably most likely make fun of her because she's a scientist. Not because she's researched about this so extensively, because I get it. I mean, I have Dean Martin's name tattooed on my arm. That's, like, pretty extreme. And I just don't like that she's a Scientologist. And she's writing about sex. Like, is that okay in Scientology? I don't know. Right. Seems kind of illegal. I might have to report her to ethics.
Do it.
I'm really going to fight Sharon Rich.
You should fight her. Well, it gives me motivation because, you know, I've read, like, maybe half the book or so. And it would give me motivation because I've told you, we've brought it up, like, earlier. And I said, oh, I should just send you the book so you don't have to pay for it. So... yeah, maybe we can work that out, I think. I don't know. I get conflicted, too, because I know I've had... I think, like, one time I posted about something about, like, oh, Jeanette and Nelson, I wish they could have ended up together in real life. And something, I don't know, you know, referring to the book and stuff. And I remember having at least one person respond and say that that was, like, absolutely not true, like that there was no basis for it. So ever since then, I've been really, I'm very skeptical. So I always in my mind just kind of read it as, like, maybe, I don't know, but it's very entertaining though. So you will get around to reading it, I promise you that. It's gonna happen.
When the person said, like, there's no, like, fact in that, did they mean, like, the relationship as a whole, or just the book, or, like, what were they, like, referring to?
You know, I can't remember, because it's probably been a couple years since that happened. I'm pretty sure, I thought they were dispelling the idea of them even having a fling.
I guess, like, you know, I just hate that she's a Scientologist. Sorry, I won't get over it. But it's just, like, the amount of research she's done is, like, bonkers to me. And I'm going to keep saying bonkers because it's such a word. But she, like, has gotten to FBI files, like, all this stuff. She's done, like, it's just, like, kind of amazing. And even though, you know, even earlier I was saying, like, how much could you write about these people? Like, how, like, at what point do you run out of things? I mean, she's been doing these magazines since the 70s. How has she, like, not run out of things to say?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got to give it to her. I mean, that's impressive to say the least.
I wanted to hear some of the fan fictions you found.
Oh, man.
Hollywood stars. Because I think the only good one I found, which was the Teach Me How to Dougie one, the Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford one, where the tags are smutty, smut, smut, Doug wants alone time, Doug is horny, slight arguing. And then I love just, like, the culture clash in that they're, Teach Me How to Dougie is obviously, like, a hip-hop song from, like, the 2010s, and this is, like, about silent film stars in the 20s. It also says that I have to accept that there's adult content.
Do you accept that?
I proceed.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. I'm trying to log into a Wattpad right now. Because I didn't have to at first. Like, when I was going through this earlier with you. Hold on. Oh.
I'm in.
Like, what's the heck? The sunglasses. Okay.
I'm trying to look at... I feel like the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis one. Oh, well, actually, I'm rereading the tags and I'm like, this doesn't seem very risque. And then I read the tags and I'm like, so it's the You Belong to Me one with Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin, and Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis, so all the Rat Pack. And the freaking tags you read me, exhibitionism, polyamory negotiations, rough sex, dirty talks, sugar daddy undertones, free use kink, self-indulgent, dom sub undertones. Martin and Lewis and the Rat Pack existing as one act. Everyone is bi because I'm projective.
That's the best one, did she say?
That's literally the best one. So yeah, this is a new, I like can't believe how new these are.
I know.
Like when I think of fan fiction that's like classic Hollywood fan fiction, I really think about ones that are like written like 10 years ago. God, there's new content since I've stopped reading fan fiction.
This is what we've been waiting for. This is amazing.
Behind.
Yeah. Maybe honestly, sort of with the quarantining and everything, maybe people have had extra time and they're just like, you know what? I need to get back to my roots and I'm going to start writing old Hollywood fan fiction again.
Because like when you were sending me the Dean Martin fan fiction, I was like, I've read all these. And then I looked and I was like, man, some of these are uploaded like yesterday.
Yeah, got some like a good amount of hits too. So apparently that's in demand.
It's like the last, I think you can sort it too by, what is intercrural sex?
Wait, what?
Sorry, I'm reading tech. I'm going to Google it.
You're good.
Sex. What does that mean? Huh? Sorry, I'm reading. I'm learning things today.
You are learning things today. I am too. I like this.
Oh, it's just like humping, I think.
Oh my gosh.
Non-penetrative sex where the penis is placed between the receiving partner's thighs. That's smart. I mean, in the Jerry Lewis kink. Oh gosh. What am I saying? What are the words coming out of my mouth? I don't even know. There's one where, why is there one with like, I'm just reading all these freaking tags. There's one with Spock and Dean Martin and like, like what? Maybe it's just because Dean Martin's singing or something and they hear him singing, but it's like, why is he, it's, why, what? It's called Returname. That's like the worst accent I've ever done. Returname means return to me in Italian, which is a Dean Martin song. So maybe they're just listening to Dean Martin in the fanfic and he's not really in it. That would make sense. I hate when they do that. So misleading.
I know.
But there isn't a lot of Dean Martin fanfiction on Archive of Your Own. I think I might also just be looking wrong. Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis.
He was too innocent.
I just want to read the tags. That's all I'm here for. Like that Tumblr I sent you.
So good.
With the person who, I don't know if you went through the tag, but the person who was like, Dean Martin is gay. Honestly, though, it's like, I was like, man, they're convincing me.
Right. I mean, hey, it could be a thing. It could be a thing.
I was like, I don't, you know, if he was gay, I wouldn't care. Love him even more. Anyway, back to what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. So I feel like one of my favorite, so I've only seen the title and the description, but it's called Judy Garland's Horrible Honeymoon That Turned Into Something More. And I love that. It's on Wattpad, and it was written by a user called BWay_loves_JG, which of course stands for Judy Garland.
The train part kills me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And okay, so I'm going to read the description of this. By the way, and this is not, when we laugh at this, it's not to make fun, but this description just like, it killed us and we loved it so much. So it says, set in July 1941, 19-year-old Judy Garland finds herself alone during her honeymoon in New York City. Husband David Rose has left her all alone, which David Rose was her first husband, I believe. So husband David Rose has left her all alone in their bridal suite to go visit a train museum. Determined to have some fun on her honeymoon, Judy goes to the nightclub Copacabana and meets fellow actor Tyrone Power.
Is this supposed to be a sexual fan fiction or is it just a regular?
It
sounds devious at the end.
It does. I'll have to check it out and see.
But maybe they're just hanging out.
I know. Honestly, like, it doesn't have any kind of content warnings. I'm going to assume, I don't think it's anything really, like, it's not like anything like adult content, but I don't know that for a fact. But Yeah, the whole, like, her husband left her to go to a train museum just, like, it kind of killed me. I'm just like, it's not funny, but it's just, I had that visual, like, it almost kind of, it to me, I'm visualizing it as some kind of wacky screwball comedy. I don't know. But, like, now I'm thinking of it, that sounds so depressing. But the train museum, like, what?
It's, like, so random.
It's so random. I said it made me think of the, you know, the movie. Have you seen the Esther Williams, Van Johnson movie, The Thrill of a Romance? When she, like, the beginning of the movie, Esther Williams gets married to this guy, and he's, like, a big-time businessman. And they go... and they go on their honeymoon to this really cool resort, and they have dinner, they listen to music, and then I think it maybe is like the same night they get there, he gets this phone call, and he's like, oh, sorry, darling, I've got some big business to do in, like, New York, gotta fly out tonight, bye. And so he's gone for, like, however many days, and that's when Van Johnson comes in, like, makes a move on her, but it's totally innocent, of course. But it's like, this just kind of makes me think of that, and I maybe was inspired by that because it would make a ton of sense.
That makes so much sense now that you brought that up.
Yeah, I'm like, except for, you know, yeah, I guess Esther Williams, I would love to have seen a version of Thrill of a Romance in which her new husband, instead of being a businessman, was just like, I'm gonna go to a train museum, and then Van Johnson, like, falls in love with her in the time that he's at a train museum.
You know, we all have our hobbies.
I have been to train museums. They're great, but honestly, like, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing there.
Been to a train museum.
I have been. I used to go, and there's this one in St. Louis, and my, like, we always, like, when I was a kid, we went to it, like, so many times, and, oh, yeah, anyway. But, yeah, it's giving me flashbacks now, actually.
Literally, like, I feel like that's such a Midwestern thing.
I can't say that for a fact, but it does feel very Midwestern-y.
I'm looking at the Mary Pickford Douglas Fairbanks one. This one, like, really spirals. It says, before Doug knew it, his slacks, belt, and boxers were on the floor, and Mary's lips were on his Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus. She had been prim and proper all day. But now that she was alone with him, it was time to let her hair down and be dirty.
Go, Mary. Go, Mary.
It's just like, it's crazy to, like, out of all the people they chose these two to write a fan fiction about. And I'm not making fun of them. It really is cracking me up. I like how she says, I'm not ready for that yet, babe. So she'll suck his but she won't have penetrative sex. That's terrible. It says Mary's brain was short-circuiting and Doug had only just begun to work on her. I used to write fan fiction when I was, like, in high school. Wait, not high school, like, middle schoolish high school. No, I had, that was because it was on my Yahoo Mail. The funny part was, it was, like, a virgin trying to write about sex. And there's, like, there's a Beatles fan fiction that is so funny to me, because there's a part where it says, it's, like, supposed to be me and Paul McCartney, I think. And it says something like, the way my friend read it out loud was funnier, but it says something like, she leans her head downward and sucked him. It's, like, so dramatic.
Oh, my gosh. I went back to Archive of Our Own, and I went back to the old Hollywood tag, mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, like, I didn't even find any I did find some particular ones that were interesting sounding, but I mean, it's interesting, because, like, I've never done a deep dive on this before. I've like, come across it in the wild, you know, like, the Judy Garland, Gene Kelly, because I follow
Judy.
Judy, they stopped making tap dancing pictures.
Hold on. I think we should read the Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford one. Only a little bit. We don't have to go.
Okay.
So this is the... Okay, so its rating is explicit. This is the... again, we're not making fun of anybody. But this fanfic is also, like, 5 years old, so... I don't think anybody will be upset. So we're going to read a little bit of the Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford fan fiction called Teach Me How to Dougie, named after the classic song. I want to start at the part that says, I bet you want this.
Oh, I was like right there too. Okay.
Okay.
Oh no. Oh no. Who's going first?
I guess I'll go. Or do you want to go? Maybe I should have you go. You're like, I'll go first. And then I'm going to tell you when we're switching.
Okay. Sounds good.
I bet you want this. She simpered seductively. Before Doug knew it, his slacks, belt, and boxers were on the floor, and Mary's lips were on his sucking. I'm doing an impression of you, Meredith. Sucking slowly, Doug closed his eyes and threw his head back and moaned softly. His girl, he thought. She had been prim and proper all day. But now that she was alone with him, it was time to let her hair down and be dirty. Mary ran her hands down Doug's as he netted his hands in her hair. Her new husband, she thought. He was everything she dreamed of and more. Cute, funny, charming, handsome. Those are all superficial reasons to be married. Anyway. Okay, I'm switching to you.
Okay. Doug removed... I don't know if I could do this. Doug removed...
Okay, I believe in you.
Doug removed her lips...
You get through this. I believe in you.
Panic attack.
This is called exposure therapy.
Exactly. Doug removed her lips from his and climbed on the bed over her, taking his shirt and tie off as he did so. They kissed fluid kisses as they got situated, Mary taking off her nightgown to reveal to Doug her beautiful nude form that he couldn't get enough of. He fantasized about it from the day they first met, and it was better than he imagined. Now that they were fully naked, they kissed and caressed each other. I love you, Mary murmured as Doug played with her ears with his mouth. He trailed his lips down her jaw and down her throat, kissing the hollow. Mary involuntarily wrapped her legs around his muscular back, causing Doug to chuckle. It's not an evil.
How does he kiss? What is kissing the hollow?
I guess like the hollow of her neck. Like, you know, like sort of
Okay. He's shoving his whole like mouth. Like, is he inside her mouth?
Because it did say like, down her throat, and I was like, what?
Understand. Okay, anyway.
I'm not ready for that yet, babe. The room was cold, but between them there was nothing but heat. The curtains were drawn. They were away from the press, away from the photographers, away from fans in their own little world. The only place where they could truly be themselves. Mary weaved her hands through Doug's dark brown hair as he kissed her. Mary, he breathed, trailing his lips up and down her breastbone. I want you. He kissed in between her breasts. Oh, babe. Mary's brain was short-circuiting, and Doug had only just begun to work on her. He was unlike any other lover she'd ever had. And they called Valentino the great lover. Poof. With her eyes closed, she breathed. You can have me, Dougie. That floored him. He loved when she called him Dougie.
Jesus Christ.
He licked her breast, his favorite body part of hers, and kept his eyes on her face while he sucked and kissed the lightly. You're my girl, Doug whispered as he moved to her other breast. No one will ever know what I do to you.
The way that you said that, you're my girl.
Mary closed her eyes and let his words rush over her. He was just teasing her. She wanted him to do more, much more. His lips traveled over her belly button, and she heard him whisper, I love you, Mary. She let out a moan as his soft lips traveled over her, kissing it. She gripped his hair harder and moaned louder. Okay. Do you want to read from there?
You went, I think you're more into it.
I'm having fun. I was like, I might as well make this dramatic if I can.
Yes, babe, her moans intoxicated him. I want to hear you. I want everyone to hear what I do to you. Keep moaning. I don't know why I read it like that. I want everyone to hear what you do to me, she repeated in a trance. No, that's my line. You think of your own words. Doug smiled at... I have so much saliva in my mouth. I'm like drooling because of this.
Salivating.
No, I'm not. Today's just a big saliva day for me. Doug smiled. The way you said sure.
I don't know if you heard me or not.
You said sure, you were just like, sure, right, yeah. Happens to all of us. I'm wiping the tears. Okay. Sure, Amelia. Right, happens to all of us. Doug smiled as his lips continued moving back and forth across her paint. Oh my god! No wonder you want me to read this part. I literally hate you. Doug smiled as his lips continued moving back and forth across her faint pubic hair. Good girl.
The way you said that. It's like a dog.
I really tried to make a sound. He can't even. Okay. He began to lick it, causing Mary's body to involuntarily rise off the bed like the fucking Exorcist. It doesn't say that in the fic. We were all thinking it.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Doug. You babe. I feel like I should be doing different voices, but I'm not.
It's okay, I'm not either.
Keeping his eyes on her seductively, Doug kissed downwards. What the fuck does that mean?
Like he somehow was like watching her while he was like going down from wherever he started, I guess. Was she lying down?
Doug kissed downwards until he reached her sex. Oh, I hate that.
I do too.
Say it like that. Once there, he paused for a second before he licked her from bottom to top. Slowly. He felt his wife's body shiver and he sat back down up against the pillows. Oh, is she done being the exorcist? Mary followed, sitting on top of him, grabbing a hold of his cheeks. Sitting on top of him where?
I know, like which cheeks?
They kissed again, their tongues doing a fiery dance. I hate this. Anyway, Doug's mustache tickling Mary's upper lip, her fingers trailed slowly back down to her ass. One of the things they loved about each other was that they couldn't stop kissing each other. That's called addiction, and I would recommend you seek help. Mary, Doug murmured against her skin as his lips trailed down her throat again. Mm-hmm. No. He didn't say it like that, but I thought it would be good. I don't think you're good and I don't think you're as good. Wait, I don't think you're as good and innocent as. Wait, what?
What? Oh, I don't think you're as good and innocent a girl. Okay. It's, yeah.
as those people out there. No, nope. I think you're a really bad girl. His other hand trailed slowly down the front of her body to her again. Jeez, give her a break. Which he stroked with a sexy pressure. Be bad, baby. What the fuck does that mean? God, this is terrible. Doug said against Mary's wide open mouth, she was close and moaning again. Prove me right. What does this sound? What does this mean?
Oh my gosh.
The worst. Douglas. They kissed. Oh, Dougie. Teach me how to Dougie. Oh, he's teaching her how to Dougie, all right. That's for sure. They kissed again as Doug upped their pressure. He has the sexiest bedroom voice, she thought. Mary moaned against his lips as Doug increased the pressure again. What does that mean?
Oh, I think I know what it means.
Hey, baby, he wanted to please her. Mary loved that about him, but there was no time to be romantic. He wanted to f*** and she loved being f***.
Nice.
He reached down just as she was about to come and removed his hand from her sex. Ugh, why do they have to say that? Keeping her eyes on him, she licked and sucked her taste off each finger. Doug watched mesmerized. Mary put Doug's hand down and smiled at him as she moved down his body, kissing and licking each of his stomach muscles. Weird. Her man, she thought. No one else would see these but her, and even women who went to go see his pictures when he showed off his body. That's because there was a code. Not fair. They would be dreaming of what they felt like while she could get it all.
Wow.
I know. That's a big flex. Your turn.
Okay, here we go. So finish it up here. No pun intended, I guess. Mary smiled as Doug's breathing grew rapid and she moved lower. He stroked her hair. Mary loved it. Even in the middle of wild sex, he was still so loving. She closed her lips around again and stroked, moving back and forth faster this time. Doug let out a moan and pressed her head down on his. Mary reached up and stroked his abs. She loved how they heaved in and out with his heavy breathing.
In and out.
In and out. She let go and went back to his mouth. Baby, I can't wait anymore. She breathed, kissing again and lowering herself onto his. They both let out moans as she rocked her hips against him. Kissing, he flipped her over faster. She was almost screaming now. She was almost screaming now. He loved to look at her face as they made love. Her eyes were closed and her blonde hair fanned out over the pillow. They were both getting close. There was a time to be... there was a time to be romantic and a time to be physical. Now this was a physical time. Moaning. Both of their eyes closed. They climaxed at the same time. Doug rolled off of... I didn't mean to yell that out. Doug rolled off of Mary, kissing her. Happy now? Mary smiled against his lips.
No.
Mary. No. Doug chuckled, ha ha ha, and smiled.
That is the creepiest chuckle ever.
I love you, and I'm gonna do that again to you before dawn. They kissed a little bit before spooning, and true to his word, he made love to her again later in the night. Oh boy.
Wait, no, that was. When did she get married to Buck, what's Buddy oh, Rogers?
Buddy Rogers? Yeah, let's see. They were married from 19... Wow, forgot they were married that long. 1937 to 1979. And so Mary and Doug were married from 1920 to 1936. Huh.
That's pretty impressive.
She was married to Owen Moore from 1911 to 1920. Wow, what? I don't know if she was married before Doug. Dougie, I should say.
That is amazing.
Wow. That, wow. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
I just, like, can't believe we ended up reading the whole thing.
So, also, in the topic of old Hollywood fan fiction, I figured it would be worth it just to mention really quick that you can go... I have no idea, like, you might be interested in doing this, but, like, I just Googled old Hollywood fanfiction, and I came across the old Hollywood tag on archiveofourown.org, and it cracks me up. I love it, because it's just an assortment of things, like, I mean, you're Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, like, you expect to see that. There's, like, The King and I, Roman Holiday, The Thin Man, which I was like, okay, I'm here for that. We've got, like, Grace Kelly and Ava Gardner, Holiday 1938, The Talk of the Town 1942, Bachelor Mother from 1939. Like, that's got to be cute. We've got, like, Rope from 1948, the Hitchcock movie. Tons of, well, not tons. There's a good amount of Singing in the Rain. And, of course, like, those are, like, really popular on here. What else was an interesting one I found? We've got Hedy Lamarr and Lana Turner behind the scenes of Ziegfeld Girl fan fiction. Sabrina from 1954. There was, like, Marlena Dietrich and Greta Garbo. But, like, there's just some stuff, like, that's... Some of it's out there, and some of it's your usual fare. You know, like, The Thin Man and, like, Fred and Ginger... So, I very entertained by this being a thing. Oh, I know. One of them that was, like, really extremely random was the Gene Krupa and Glenn Miller. There's a Glenn Miller Gene Krupa fan fiction, and I was just like, okay, I'm here for it. I like that.
Are they in a relationship?
Oh, here it is. So, yeah, it's called Damn Drummer Boy. And it's by Danny_Gay. The summary is, it's the mid-30s, and Glenn Miller finally eases into the sound of drums after discovering a certain drummer, finally finding what he looks like and finding out his name, which is G and Krupa, the two become friendly with each other. Glenn only thinks it's nothing until one morning after a dream.
That is so specific. I've always known, I mean, not everyone has, but I've always known that Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis fan fiction have existed, and it makes sense, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially if you watch some of their films, or just even how they interact in general. But the G and Krupa, that is so, like... That is, like, so obscure. I don't even know what to say about that.
This other person did, the only other one they did was last May. They did a To Kill a Mockingbird fic with Heck. I'm trying to remember who Heck Tate is. Heck Tate awakens to a new morning with his love, Bob Duncan. As the casual morning passes, they don't know of the events that'll occur within the next few days and weeks. What? Boo Radley, Dil Harris. So they got everybody in To Kill a Mockingbird. Shit post, this is a joke, please don't spit on me. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, make a gay fan fiction between a To Kill a Mockingbird character and a Good Luck Charlie character. Oh, isn't Bob Duncan? It's like the dad.
What?
Wait, who is Heck Tate? I gotta remember who it is.
I don't even know what to say.
Wait, okay, even better. Hey, so this is random. Heck Tate is the sheriff of Macomb County. He's just the sheriff from Tucumán.
I'm just so confused. Wait, so it's a To Kill a Mockingbird and Good Luck, Charlie.
It's the dad, I think. I think it's like the dad from Good Luck Charlie and the sheriff from To Kill a Mockingbird. And I'm assuming it's a physical intimate relationship. I'm going back to this really quick. No, where did it
Why
go?
Why is Bob Duncan in this fiction?
So the first chapter, what the hell are clever chapter titles? Heck Tate's point of view. Oh my gosh. Morning, Bobby. Oh man, I'm gonna send this to you. Oh man, I might have to read that one sometime.
Okay, next it'll be another old Hollywood movie and That's So Raven. Like, let's just fucking keep it going.
Exactly. Speaking of so the Sheriff of Macomb makes me think of like Sheriff of Mayberry.
That's
you
what
see
I'm
where I'm
thinking.
You see where I'm going with this? There's gotta be. Andy.
Where is the Don Knotts fan fiction? The stuff on Classic Hollywood, like the Classic Hollywood fanfiction.com, is like a lot older. It doesn't really. There's literally a Game Show Network one. Where it's like the Hollywood. Says the Hollywood Squares, the whole crew gets an all expense paid trip to Hollywood. That shit is 12,000 words.
Is it got like what's his name?
Paul Lynde.
Paul Lynde, thank you, yes.
This is ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
I guess it's like a family are going to the game show, like some made up characters.
Oh my lord.
There's no, where are the rated M rating? We're going to do M. There's only 6 M.
Oh, that's poopy.
I know. Poopy.
Poopy. Uh-oh, stinky.
So thanks to everyone for listening to, I don't even know, this episode has gone off the rails and is crazy. But thank you for listening. And we don't know what we're going to do for next episode. But we will let people know what we're going to do on social media or what we decide to do. But it's most likely, I'm assuming, we're going to go back to doing a movie review. But I hope that we've educated you on fan fiction and just like all the possibilities of all the different fan fiction that's written about classic Hollywood stars. And that's all I have to say. What about you, Meredith?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I just want to say I thoroughly enjoyed doing this. I am a little bit tense from the laughing that I did, and I'm not sincerely mean that. I actually do feel it. I really enjoy this. I'm shocked, honestly, that there's probably more that we haven't even seen, but I don't know why I'm so shocked by like how much there is out there. But yeah, this has been so fun. Hopefully maybe we can do this again at some point if people enjoy this, because this is like beyond fun to me. So I look forward to being back next time. I'm very excited.
I'm like, so I don't even know, Meredith. I'm doing too much at once. Anyway. I don't think I have anything. I don't think I have anything else to say. I think you pretty much said it all, Meredith. Bye.
Awesome. Well, goodbye. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.